your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins. Oh! An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner, brought to you by Freddie Freeman. Patrick Harris here with you alongside Joe Fisher III.
Pame, which I hope is the right way to say let's go in Greek.
We do this bad boy every single Tuesday night. We're happy to have you. This is a World Series edition of the Hot Corner. You know, we get lucky. I feel like every year, Joe, we get lucky that there's a game on when we do this show.
Yeah, it'd just be better if, like, it was 8 o'clock. You know, I feel like that'd just be better for both of us, you know. We'd be here till 10.
We're kind of in the thick of it, though, right now. It's a pretty good point in the game.
I just left the place, so I work on Tuesdays. It's my Friday. And I get done about 4 o'clock, sometimes 5, depending on how, you know, depending on how the day is rolling. And then I leave, and I go to my local watering hole. And full disclosure, have a couple beers, and then I come down here to do the show. And I left today for the first time in a long time saying to myself, God, I hate this stupid radio show. Why do I do this? I just want to sit here and watch the game. So then I found myself secretly rooting for the Yankees to win today.
So I can watch game five
tomorrow at home.
Well, I will say also, pat on the back for you and I. That would, if they go five games, that's what we called. So that is what we called.
We did call Dodgers in five.
Also, I was saying to my buddy when we were doing our podcast is that I was like, you know, while I would like to be right, seeing me be wrong because the Yankees get swept, like, I'm totally okay with that.
There's a Dodger fan at the bar that I was just at who's diehard. He's from L.A., but he lives up here now. He's diehard Dodger. And he said something. Usually I disagree with a lot of the stuff he says, but he said the Yankees deserve to be swept.
Yes.
And I thought that was very apropos.
Yes.
But selfishly, I would like this to go to another game so I can watch game five at my house. And if it's game six and seven, that's on a Friday and a Saturday. And I work Friday nights and Saturday nights.
Is that really how,
like,
this
we'll
would
get
play
to game
out?
One here in about 10 minutes or so. But, like, I didn't get to see the home run because I was working.
Oh.
Like, I saw the reaction,
yeah,
but I wasn't, you know, sitting there watching a television while it happened.
So this last weekend, I was with my girlfriend and her group of friends up at government camp. We were staying at an Airbnb, and I definitely had to, like, withhold my primal sports, like, behavior on Friday night when that home run got hit.
Quote, unquote, Abby Harris, I hate sports.
Dude, it was like...
That's fantastic.
I was, you know, there were some people that cared about the World Series that were watching. There was a, you know, one or two other people. But yeah, when that home run got hit, I definitely had to withhold my reaction to how I would have probably... Are you okay over there? What's going on?
We're good.
Who was turning up that monitor?
Right? Who did that?
God. Come on. Is this a professional radio station or not?
No, not at all.
I know.
Kim's leaving. We're done.
Rhetorical.
We're toast.
But yeah, when that home run got hit, I did not react how I probably would have normally reacted because it was not the vibes for Joe to just be like, oh my God.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
Woo! It was definitely like I would have gone some stairs, like, and my girlfriend would have gone stairs, like, are you serious with this guy like, right now?
You brought this guy to the party?
Are you serious? And that happened on Saturday too.
I'd leave him instantly.
That happened on Saturday too with the Ducks game, because there was a certain play in that game where a Iowa safety got absolutely trucked for a touchdown, and I.
You instantly want to be like, you bitch.
Oh, dude.
You suck. Go Ducks.
And I think I let out about as much as I could on that one, too, before, because I was about to go, whoa, baby, let's go. Start going off. And I was just like, oh, my God.
So this guy I was telling you about who's a diehard Dodger fan, I caught game 5 of the NLDS of Dodgers Padres. I was at said bar that I go to before this show, and he was there. And at the end of the game, he's yelling, F San Diego, F all those people that live there. That town is a whole, you know, F Machado, F Tatis. He's just going off.
Saying a lot that San Diego's a whole coming from an L.A. fan.
Yeah, and I guess he reacted the same way on game 1 after Freddie hit that home run.
F San Diego, they're not even in it anymore.
And the bartender and another bartender who wasn't working that plays on the softball team with him had to have a conversation.
Oh, hey, man, boy.
You can't act that way in the bar.
You gotta chill out.
So I'm watching this game tonight with him as the Yankees lead 5-4. And you could tell he was only positives. There was no F New York, F Judge.
That's a good play.
Yeah, yeah. You could tell.
I respect that play.
You could tell somebody got to him. And, you know, I was talking to him, and Jazz Chisholm was kind of like this. I love the childhood undying love for stuff. Like, I think Jazz Chisholm, I love when he is passionate about baseball, but boy, does it become douchebag real quick.
Yeah, he almost got tossed last night.
And this guy's the same way. It's kind of like, hey, man, I love that you love your team. You know, I was at the same bar when Big Christmas hit the home run and David Fry and Fry hit the home run. Like, I was there and I was rooting and hooting and hollering real loud in the bar, but you cannot be disparaging. You cannot be just yelling at people that the city you live in makes you a loser. And that these $300 million guys who are fantastic at baseball in Machado and Frankie and et cetera are not losers, okay? They're great at baseball. It's just baseball. Games go different ways. You never know.
I was going to say, people have been yelling, disparaging our city, Portland, for the last four or five years. So
I know
we're used to.
I got some employees at jobs at my job that are like, yeah, my parents live in Florida. And they're like, I can't believe you live in Portland. You have to get out of there. That place is such an asshole. And like,
my grandpa and my uncle love telling me how bad Portland it is.
They don't live here.
Besides the fact of not even stepping foot in Portland for the last 10, 15
people that
years.
Live in hurricane territory are telling you to move.
Yeah. Dude, you have natural disasters like 6 times a year.
You've got to go stay in a hotel for 2 months out of the year every single year.
My grandpa who lives in Missouri, oh my God, the drugs are out of control in Oregon.
Yeah, because in the Midwest where you ain't got S to do.
You know that show Ozark, Grandpa? Not entirely off base there.
Oh, man. Oakley Doakley. Well, here we are, my friends. We are at game 4 of the World Series. Dodgers are up 3-0. Kind of the theme of this postseason and this show, kind of based on timing and where games are, is a little bit of how we got here and where we are now. And I'd like to continue that trend. So we got a lot going on. The top of the 8 o'clock hour, I'd like to have a coming to Jesus conversation about the Yankees. There are some things that very, very much concern me about this team, and not just based on how they're playing, but just based on what I'm seeing. 7:45, we'll talk about Freddie Freeman and how he is baseball god right now, despite playing on a team with baseball god. There's just a lot to get into, but where I'd love to start is I want to start in game one and how insane and amazing that game was as a baseball fan. We'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. 7:15 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live.
We'll do it live.
From the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. Vancouver text line 503-864-6326. That bad boy lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. We're also up on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan. Please join us. We'd love to have you. Here we are, game four of the World Series. Austin Wells just went deep. It's 6-4. Yankees over the Dodgers, but it's the bottom of the sixth, and there's a lot of baseball to go.
Yeah, and there's a whole platoon of Yankees bullpen pitchers that still have to go. So this game is still up for grabs.
And if you know me, you know that I don't love anybody in that platoon, quote-unquote, of Yankee bullpen. But let's kind of start with how we got here, my friends. Let's get into game one, okay? I think what is so amazing about game one, okay, how it ends, like we all know, Freddie hits the walk-off grand slam. It kind of calls back to the Kirk Gibsons of the world, and no one's ever hit a walk-off grand slam, especially when you're down runs. Like, there's a lot of really cool stuff about it. But I think what was so great about it is because it teased us as baseball fans. It told us, this is Yankees-Dodgers in 2024. This isn't Yankee-Dodgers in 81. This isn't Yankee-Dodgers in 60. This is modern-day, big-time studs. Let's make this happen. Who's on the mound in game one? Oh, wow, it's Gerrit Cole, a $300 million pitcher on the bump for the Yankees.
Your favorite.
Against Jack Flaherty, who, to be fair, with all the injuries they have, it was probably the best choice to throw in game one. And that game was just fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it was I have been so locked in on this series, rightfully so. It's the World Series. It should be happening regardless.
It's baseball, but, baby.
But as much as my opinion before this series of kind of being in the majority of people like, eh, God, Yankees, Dodgers. Like, I have loved this series, even though it has been in the Dodgers' favor. But also, we've had some great drama. In that game one, though, I mean, you seeing the Yankees go up in the 10th, and then the final 10th inning of the drama that we had with the your guy Aaron Boone's decision.
Yeah.
I mean, and also this is, I understand walking to load the bases, but also I'm very much like, you already have a guy on first and second. You have a force at first, second, and third. Like, does having a force at home plate really matter all that much in that situation? And it's not like you're walking Betts to get to Gavin Lux. Right.
Even Teoscar Hernandez.
Right. Like, you're walking in like, all right, let's walk Mookie. He's dangerous. We'll take Freddie Freeman instead. Like,
I think that's what was so fascinating.
Like, all right. Like, I guess that's a choice.
I think that's what's so fascinating about that game. Gleyber Torres has a really bad situation there, fielding a ball from the outfield. That game was so fascinating because the Yankees did go up in extra innings and should have just lost that game in regular innings. Aaron Boone makes that insanely, in my opinion, and Joe, you can talk me down. I don't think you are, but you can talk me down if you've got good stats or good talk to talk me down. You're pulling Gerrit Cole, your $300 million man, who was ace. He was great. Cole was everything you pay him for. And you decided to get out of him to an extremely volatile bullpen. A bullpen that at times looks like a world beater and at times gives up two home runs to guys that play for the Cleveland Guardians that you've never heard of in your entire life. Like, that's how volatile that is. I mean, game one's lost by Aaron Boone. I am not walking an MVP to get to another MVP.
Yeah,
I'm not. I'm going to take my chances.
Again, I understand the baseball strategy of loading the bases.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. The force at home, I completely get that.
But it doesn't work in this situation to me when you are trying to win a game. And also the pitching move, too, of, hey, let's bring in Nestor Cortez, who hasn't pitched in over a month.
Like, yeah,
that too.
You've got Shohei on second, and you've got Betts on first.
Shohei got popped out.
Oh, I think you're right. I think you're right. So you've got Tommy Edman on second, and you've got Mookie on first. Those are good base runners.
Yeah, I understand the strategy aspect of a base in baseball, but that is not walking a great player, so that way you can avoid having to go up against another great player.
I talk about this all the time.
It doesn't. It was like, all right, and then literally first pitch, you paid the consequences.
I talk about this all the time. Do you know why Babe Ruth? Okay, I'm not here to disparage Ruth. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. Ruth is an all-time great, but Babe Ruth is as famous as he is because Lou Gehrig batted behind him. So you got to choose who you're going to pitch to. And pitchers chose to pitch to Ruth. They thought, I'd rather pitch to the guy that's going to hit a home run and can't run to first than the guy that can hit a double to the gap, a single to left, or a home run. Because I don't want to face Lou Gehrig, so I'll throw meat at Babe Ruth. The other example that I have is David Ortiz. David Ortiz is in the Hall of Fame because he spent his entire career at Boston batting behind Manny Ramirez. And pitchers said, I don't want to throw to Manny because he can get a double in the gap, a single to left, or hit a bomb.
Manny, the all-time leader in postseason home runs.
So I'm going to take a shot. The guy has like a 14-game hit streak in the World Series. I'm going to take a shot at Ortiz. And that's where Boone failed, was I don't, like, Freeman is as great as he is right there because he's protected by Betts and Shohei. That's why he bats third. Because realistically, I would probably bat Betts first, Shohei second, or like a Tommy Edman second, and then you get Freeman three and Ohtani four. But that's not how baseball is now. Now it's like, put your best hitter up front. So Shohei's one. Acuna's one. It's Stephen Kwan is one. Like, pick your team. Your best hitter is one. And I think Boone failed that epically by choosing to get to a former MVP who's already won a World Series.
Yeah. To go back on your Garrett Cole point, bringing him up, there is still a good chance that we can still see him. I mean, we might see him tomorrow, but I mean,
I think we will see him.
I mean, again, you're going on at that point, 4 days rest. Cause Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 4 days rest. I just think game one, it's like, dude, this could be, I mean, we need to come out and get a win with you on the mound. And he went 88 pitches over six innings.
How is he not at 100?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, you got to get him at least to 100 and hopefully get him through at least seven. And if he's still cruising and has only given up one, just keep riding him until it really, I mean, I understand you don't want to put dudes on base, but it just drives me nuts, especially in the World Series when you have an arm like that, a pitching talent like that, and you're pulling him after six. And I get that if he was starting to show signs of inaccuracy, he didn't have as good stuff, and you're going through the lineup a third time, write it. Like,
but it was like he let a guy on.
Live and die.
Like, oh, let's pull him.
Live and die. I would much rather be able to sleep at night saying, you know, I maybe left Garrett Cole in a little bit longer versus I pulled him too early.
Can I chime in too? Because then coming up in game two, which I know we haven't gotten to yet, but I'm even more confused about Boone's management because Sprague pointed this out, I think, yesterday morning. What the hell was Boone doing leaving Carlos Rodon in way longer than Garrett Cole?
That's what it doesn't make sense.
The game management from Boone, I mean, we can talk about the Nestor Cortez decision too. It pretty much mirrors the Robbie Ray home run to Yordan Alvarez that happened in what, game two of the ALDS when the Mariners are facing off against the Astros. Nestor hasn't pitched in a month, and he's by far not even close to being your best starting pitcher. Oh, lefty on lefty, though, gotta go to that. And Boone just got caught up in like that matchup.
And I think it's because Boone got caught up in using Holmes and Weaver and
Gotta get to Holmes and Weaver.
Yeah. Like he was so quick to want to get to the back of his bullpen that it forced his hand. And that's a poor choice. Because now you get to a point where it's like, okay, well, Weaver's given it up and we're tied. Holmes gave it up and now we're tied. So now I'm going into extras and I don't have any of my guys. Boone should be fired for game one alone. I know I sit here and I bag on him, but like, that's what we're talking about. Like, Boone cost this game, okay? Yeah, you can't predict that Freddie's going to hit a grand slam. We'll get to Freddie's grand slam in a moment. You can't predict Freddie's grand slam, but you can't also tee it up for him.
Yeah, that was an easy pitch. You can't throw it down.
Nestor Cortez threw two pitches in the 10th inning. He threw two pitches, and the second was a grand slam to lose the game. I don't get it.
Yeah, sorry to say, because the Yankees made the World Series, Boone's probably got another like 3-4 years with the team.
And that blows my mind. I was talking to that stupid Dodger fan, and I was like, Dave Roberts is not very good. And he was like, whoa, hold up. And I was like, okay, you hold up. Think for a second. He goes, yeah, he's on his last leg. And I was like, yeah, and if he wins a World Series, he's going to buy himself at least 5 years. And he goes, yeah, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, and
it's so crazy to think we're in a World Series with Dodgers and Yankees, and I got two of some of the worst managers in baseball. However, I will say this. I think Dave Roberts has been pretty good this postseason.
I agree. I think that...
I'm eating a little crow on that.
I think his bullpen management has been very, very good. Yeah. I think he's done a great job with that and being able to put in the guys in the right situations. I tip of the cap to him.
And somehow he got Walker Buehler to be... The Walker Buehler. Do you know Walker Buehler has 3 World Series starts and his ERA is 0.5?
That's just...
I'm laughing because I go in with my meeting with Boss Man Cooley yesterday, and he's like, you know...
Resident Red Sox fan.
And he's like, you know, Walker Buehler, you know, when you hear his name, you're definitely like, oh, yeah, he's really good. But if you look at his last few starts and what he did this year, I don't know. It's just not been that. I'm like, you know, he's going to have an absolute gem now.
Absolutely smoked
because you,
brother.
Because you said that.
Absolutely
like,
smoked.
He's going to have a great outing now. And then sure enough, like I joked to Kurt, I was like, watch him go like 6 innings and 8 Ks, which he didn't go that far. But 5 innings, 5 strikeouts, no earned runs. I'm like, Walker Buehler, you did your job there, bud.
Here's the question, and I know we'll get to Freddie at 7:45.
Just really quickly, Aaron Boone, I do think he actually could still be fired if the Yankees don't win the World Series.
I also agree.
The Yankees are the kind of organization that makes those moves.
When George was alive, oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm not talking about Billy Martin hired and fired 4 or 5 times, but like, I didn't think they should have moved on from Girardi when they did. It's not like they really got much better when they went to Aaron Boone at that point. So I think what 3 mismanagement pitching situations in the first 2 games alone really make you evaluate your manager. And I've been sitting here all year bagging on the Mariners and Scott Service until they fired him. So if I'm sitting there looking at the same thing, like seeing that from the Yankees manager in the World Series, you can't do that in the biggest game of the year.
Without a doubt. And that's why I'm so excited to get to the 8 o'clock hour to get into the state of the Yankees. Let's just get out on this real quick as we wrap up game one. Is Freddie Freeman's home run, is that grand slam, is that going to stand the test of time? And I know we'll get into Freddie, like, and what he did in game two and three and tonight. We'll get into that at 7:45, but is that home run, does that stand the test of time? I mean, Kirk Gibson's in 88 stands the test of time. And I know that they're both Dodgers. That's not what I mean. But that was a huge home run in a big game that if you go back, the Dodgers swept the A's that year. It wasn't a good World Series. It was just a good game. Does this Freddie Freeman Grand Slam stand the test of time for game one?
I think it will, as long as obviously they finish the job, which I'm very confident they will. But also because it was a game that the Yankees had to have because of who you had starting that game. You they lose game one game. Without with Gerrit Cole on the mound. That it's just
and you were up.
It's a, just such a momentum killer and such a punch in the gut losing a game. Up. Yeah, like you had that game.
That Stanton home run should have been the death knell.
Should have been.
And then before you know it, in a matter of two pitches, as you mentioned, you know, really one pitch. I mean, it was the first pitch of that bat. It's over. Yeah. Just unreal.
One pitch. And that.
I think that's also like the impact of that.
I almost had the dumb button. That that MFN home run was gone before Freddie even made contact with the baseball. That S was gone.
No doubter. No doubter.
It's like Pujols against Brad Lidge in what was that? 06. I think it's 06. Like that MFR is gone. Gone.
Even my wife, like, as soon as, like, it hit the bat, she was like, whoa! Yeah. Like, it was obvious. It was so cool. And, yes, I think it's bigger than Kirk Gibson's home run.
All right, let's keep going with this World Series talk. That game set the precedent for what we thought would be the most iconic, insane World Series ever. However, record scratch, this is where we are now. And that's what we're going to get into now. Where we came from after that one to where we are here in four. We'll do that next. But first, there's Schultzy with sports.
Now, what did I do wrong?
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
That's improbable, but not impossible.
It's an A-bomb from A-Rod.
Coming up in the second hour, we're going to have a real heart-to-heart conversation about the New York Yankees. Plus, we'll get into Freddie Freeman, hero of Game 1, in 15 minutes.
Dude, Yankee fans are hilarious. Such dirtbags, but just real quickly, did you see them trying to rip the ball out of Mookie Betts' hand earlier?
Of course,
in the game?
Of course. And that's what I was going to get to. Like,
D-bag.
The setup of this series, and that's also part of what.
Dodgers fans aren't much better, by the way. They were throwing stuff at the Padres. Hilarious.
They once killed a Giants fan.
Yeah, like, it's not really relevant
yeah,
here.
Yeah, we can talk about the Yankee fans being terrible.
They're
But let's not messy. Absolve Dodger fans.
Yeah.
But. You sit here, and the way this series begins in this incredible game one, okay? You've got Jack Flaherty, who pitches okay. You've got Gerrit Cole, who is the cost of admission. He showed up. And we have this amazing, epic game one where Freddie Freeman hits a grand slam to walk it off. Guys, are we not sitting here going, oh, wow, this is it. They built it for us. Like, Joe, you and I sit here and we're like, Dodgers, Yankees. But then after game one, you're like, Dodgers, Yankees? This is going to be wild.
Again, despite this now being a 3-0 series and that, you know, we are... potentially three innings from it being over. If we get a little Dodgers comeback here, what are we, a 6-4 right now? I mean, it has been a lot of fun. And I will eat crow on that because I just despise the fan bases so much. But I mean, we have definitely, those first two games, it has been awesome to watch this.
It has been awesome. And I think that's what was so amazing. When Freddie hit that ball, I remember saying to myself, you know, I wasn't jazzed about Dodgers-Yankees because I don't think the Yankees are very good. I think they got a couple guys, but I don't think as a whole they're very good. That, you know, I think the Padres and I think the Mets are better than the Yankees, or at least the Mets are equal to the Yankees. But I think the Padres are better than both the Yankees and the Mets. That I was a little sad that that NL series might have been the two best teams in baseball. But after that first game, I'm like, okay, buckle up. Here we go. And I'll tell you what. After watching game two and game three, boy, this series looks not very fun to me. I'm just being honest. I was kind of out on it to begin with, but after game one, it was like, whoop, I'm wrong. And you know me, I'm more than happy to be wrong. And I went, whoop, I'm wrong.
I don't think it was just you that was wrong, dude.
Yep, I think a lot of us were.
MLB.
It was like, whoa, holy goodness.
Pumping all these promos out. AM570 down in Los Angeles has been like losing their minds, having radiogasms, excited about what they could be producing over the next few weeks. But it's literally like, oh, three games and it's pretty much over.
It's kinda sad. And I think that's what's so sad is that game one was so great. And then watching two and especially three. I mean, I turned the game off last night. The wife and I moved to the front room and started listening to records and talking about our kids and smoking pot, you know, because I was like, it's a seven. Like, this is done.
Well, I mean, game two, I'll defend a little bit. It got a little interesting at the end there.
But that's what I mean. But getting interesting at the end is not indicative of how the series is going.
But also, with that being said, is like, Yoshi showed up in that game.
Yoshi was amazing.
Which was a big, you know, I mean, throughout this whole entire season, he's had a good season, mm-hmm. but definitely not like...
Missed a big chunk from injury.
Right. But also, it hasn't been a regular season, a postseason where it has justified his paycheck or his hype coming into this team.
Correct.
So to see him in game two lock them down like he did... And the Yankees just struggled to get any hits on the board.
I think you're alluding to the right thing here is that it has been amazing to watch the Dodger players be locked in.
Yeah.
Whether it's Freddie, Yoshi, Walker Buehler last night, I thought was just incredible. And timely hits and defense from, you know, Teoscar Hernandez last night or, you know, Freddie Freeman and all that kind of stuff, that this series is cool if we break it down, but it's one-sided. Like, outside of Gerrit Cole, who on the Yankees are you looking at outside of maybe Volpe tonight with the Grand Slam? Who are you looking at like, yeah, you've really come? Maybe Stanton? Maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, Rizzo. Anthony Rizzo showed up. Woohoo.
It's been fascinating for us to watch, but it's all one-sided. It's all because we're watching one team that's built to be great and another team who's pretending to be built to be great.
Yeah, this is why coming into this series, I think you and I were on the same page there as far as these offenses and these lineups. It is two completely different, like, it is a naturally beautiful hot girl and then one that is just doused in makeup and plastic surgery.
Without a doubt.
So, like, that, and that to me was saying it's like the Dodgers, we know they're good. We know, like, one through nine.
We knew they were good.
Even the bullpen. It's like, I would much rather take that bullpen. And then the Yankees, it was like, all right, so you got, you have Glaber. Okay. Okay.
Gleyber Torres has been great this series.
He has, but also
has a really bad error at second.
And when you look at, again, lineups 1-3, 1-4, like, yeah, no, Gleyber is the weak point of the Yankees 1-4. And then it's like, all right, and then you've got, Soto, obviously amazing. Judge, amazing. Not amazing in these playoffs, though. And God, that, I mean, we could spend two segments at least on what's been going on with him.
We'll talk about him at the top of the 8 o'clock.
And then you got Stanton, who is overplaying expectations.
Without a doubt. Stanton has been the best player for them this entire postseason.
And then after that, it's just right off of
the cliff. But I think it was, I can't remember on the Fox broadcast if it was A-Rod or Jeter that said it. I think it was A-Rod who was talking about the Yankees had an easy path to the World Series. They played Kansas City, who was spent. They played ahead of expectations. You know, they were, like I've said on the show a thousand times, they remind me of the Astros in 2015. Ahead of schedule, good young core. You've got a superstar in Bobby Witt. And by the time they got to the Yankees in the ALDS, they were spent. They were just done. Then the Yankees played Cleveland, who got out of a big series with Detroit, who, again, is also another team ahead of schedule. And Cleveland crapped all over themselves in game one and two. Base running errors, fielding errors, not playing Cleveland baseball. And the Yankees got up two games. And then Cleveland made it interesting in three and four, but the Yankees were able to get out of that. Now they're here playing a real team. And they look amateur. And I think what's so sad about that is the way that game one stood out was it looked like buckle up. It looked like buckle up. We're here for six or seven games of some of the most high-end, high-intensity baseball, and that just hasn't happened.
No, it is unfortunate because, I mean, even last week when we were like throwing out predictions, it was like, dude, like, yeah, I would want this to go to seven games. I would love for this to be an epic series. But
of course, we hate both these teams, so they might as well beat the hell out of each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It might as well go seven and have somebody walk it off.
Yeah, but again, it's just...
Are you not entertained?
Yeah, it is not played out that way because there is one team that is just better. Plain and simple. To me, it just wasn't that hard of a, well, I don't know, maybe if the Yankees do this, it's like, no. There is one team that is markedly better, and if we are here next week and we're saying that the Yankees pulled off the impossible and come back, then I will eat the biggest bowl plate buffet of crow possible.
But so will I.
It's just
I will let my dog poop in a bowl and I will eat it.
No, don't air. Stop. Don't trick that. Don't say it. We're
I
not
would never do that.
Not exit. Well, good job adding that, but they're not going to add that to the clip that goes circulating around Twitter.
I don't live in Alabama. Okay, I'm all right. I'm all right. Yeah, and that's how it is. And keeping that in mind, you know, Shohei and Mookie, Shohei specifically, I mean, Shohei's hurt, so I give him a little bit of a pass. And Mookie's kind of been here but not here, etc. There's one guy that's really doing it for him, and that's where I want to get to next. Let's talk about the most obvious elephant in the room to ever exist in the history of Major League Baseball, and that's Freddie Freeman. We'll do that next. Hot Corner, 10A The Fan. Coming up in the second hour, we're going to have a real heart-to-heart about the New York Yankees. Plus, also, the only thing on planet Earth that could get me to stop watching baseball. Plus, fair or foul at the bottom of the hour.
Soccer?
No, I watch a ton of soccer, and that doesn't stop me from watching baseball. What's great is I watch European, so it's over before anybody over here starts.
Yeah, you got to wake up at 4 a.m. to watch a game.
Well, I don't do that. I'm not going to lie. Even when my team plays, I'm like, I hope we beat Crystal Palace today. I'm not getting up for that.
Let's go, Reds.
But let's get here. I don't know. You know how when you watch World Series, NLCS, ALCS, Super Bowls, NBA Finals, like, take out Super Bowls. NBA Finals is great because it's multiple games. You can kind of tell, you know, you can kind of know who's on the trajectory to be the Finals MVP in the NBA. You know, it's Giannis. It's, you know, it's LeBron. It's Steph, you know. And every once in a while, they throw you a curveball where it's Andre Iguodala. Or, you know, Ray Lewis is the Super Bowl MVP for the Ravens when they win. Every once in a while, you get that little thing. Boy, my friends, I don't know if I've ever seen a World Series in my entire life that has not screamed who the MVP is harder than this one.
Yeah, I'd have to go back. I mean, maybe since Mad Bum.
Yeah, maybe Mad Bum, but took us to game six, game seven to realize that.
Yeah.
This is like, I'm done with game two, and I've decided the MVP of this thing.
What about Corey?
Corey, you throw our fans. It's somewhere over here.
I get...
And spit on that thing.
That's not Corey's ear.
Close enough.
Yeah, just looking back. I mean,
you see guys, and it's always like they did something great in game one and game three and made a good defensive play in five. And the series was over in six. So you're kind of like, yeah, you know, like Corey Seager last year, once he hit that home run in game, what was that, game five, game six, then we knew. But you didn't necessarily know leading up to it. This, after game one, you're like, okay, Freddie hits the bomb, a hero, whatever. Doesn't necessarily make you the World Series MVP. Game two, he hits a home run, and I go, uh-oh, I think I know the World Series MVP. Game three, you're like, oh, I definitely know. And here we are in game four. First time through the lineup, boom, gone. And that home run that Freddie hit today is only gone in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Well, so congrats, Yanks. Congrats on your short portion right. It cost you a World Series.
Well, maybe not yet.
Maybe not yet. Never count them out. Look, let me tell you, the Yankees are the biggest comebacks I've ever seen.
So I want to start calling Freddie Freeman like Mr. Millennial October, because I'm not sure you can take away the original Mr. October moniker from Reggie Jackson. But
and Derek's got Mr. November because of 2001.
Exactly, and he's had the most games, I think, played in the postseason. Mm-hmm. He should have that moniker. But I think of Reggie, and how do you quantify success in the World Series, because he hit the three home runs in a game, I think it was 77, to lead the Yankees to that World Series win, so that got him that nickname. But then you look at Freddie Freeman hitting one every freaking game for the Dodgers. I'd say that qualifies him Mr. October as well. Which is more clutch? It's not like the Yankees, they had to be in this position, right? Like Reggie brought them back and got them that win when they were kind of up against it, whereas Freddie Freeman just got the Dodgers sailing from the start. I know he hasn't had to like clutch up in the same way when they're down, but which is better? How can you quantify the greatness here?
I think you've got a great point here, Jordan. And I will tell you that I think Freddie Freeman's performance in this World Series is more impressive than Reggie Jackson. I do. I think this performance in this World Series might be all time. Okay, this World Series is kind of been a little bit of a bust, you know. If the Yankees do win tonight, as there's one out in the eighth, in the bottom of the eighth, if the Yankees do win, I mean, Flaherty's going to throw tomorrow. And if Flaherty sucks, Yamamoto's going to throw the next. Like, I still love the Dodgers in this series. But what that creates is that creates a game five for Freddie Freeman to hit another home run. Okay, when you're looking at a team that has Shohei Ohtani, who is a two-time, soon-to-be three-time MVP, you got Mookie Betts, who's the only player in my lifetime to be a regular season MVP and a World Series MVP in the same season, who got traded for that douchebag in left field in New York from a different team. You've decided that you don't like Freddie Freeman, and Freddie Freeman has decided to say, hey, hold my beer while I punch you in the face.
Yeah,
This is insane what he's doing. Joe Carter's home run for the Blue Jays, okay? David Freeze, like, mad bum, okay? Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling, like,
Puckett for the Twins.
Puckett, that is the all, you know, Bill Mazeroski, like, the you know, Don Larson in a World Series. Like, these are the greatest things we've ever seen in World Series history. And I think Freddie is there. And not only do I think he's there, I think he's up there as one of the greatest World Series performances we've ever seen.
Now, granted, this is over combined World Series. He is the first player in MLB history to hit a home run in six consecutive World Series games.
He did that on a team he doesn't even play for anymore.
Can you?
And they won.
This is funny, though. This is a trivia question that actually I have a little calendar on my desk, Sports Goats calendar, and it gives me a new
New great thing a goat did on that day?
Yes. Can you name the only player to have five straight home runs in a single World Series, though?
I believe the answer is George Springer.
That is correct.
Oh, thank you.
Look at you.
Thank you. Good love job. Baseball history.
Yep.
Baseball and World War II are the best histories you can ever follow.
Oh, but actually, I see here that they're they are giving three of those to the garbage can. So,
well, yeah, yeah, they're cheaters.
At least
three. So the answer is Freddie Freeman.
Yes, yes.
Well, he exactly. broke that tonight, so at least we don't have to let Springer.
Well, again,
have
Springer has the most consecutive in a single World Series by having five straight games.
Yeah, but that's got an asterisk next to it.
Exactly. Yes.
Gone.
Looking at this list of World Series MVPs, I mean, who could forget Steve Pierce's 2018 with the Red Sox?
Steve freaking Pierce.
Former Orioles Steve Pierce. Looking at some of these, it is really hard to think of, again, most dominant, most memorable, quickest. Like, after three, four games, you're like, that dude's getting it. I mean, unless it's a sweep. I mean, again, I go to Madison Bumgarner, but, again, that was over a seven-game series.
See guys that are like, yep, that's it.
Like within, yeah, like you said, two, three games of the series, just adamantly putting their flag in the ground saying that, yeah, I got this.
Last year, I was rooting for Corey Seager. I like Corey Seager as a baseball player. I find him really solid defensively, and he's a great hitter. Now, unfortunately, injuries have kind of caught up to him in these old days. I felt it was stupid that the Dodgers didn't sign him. And so I was rooting for that narrative of him to be the World Series MVP last year, because there are not many people, if any, that are World Series MVPs on different teams in different leagues. So I thought that'd be fun to see as a story. But he didn't become that until the last game of that series.
Right.
Because he hit that huge home run, and that's how he won the MVP. Now, here we are. The Yankees might win this game. And I'll tell you what. I said this earlier. If the Yankees come back and win this World Series, which will not happen, I still think Freddie Freeman's the MVP. You know, give me some Jerry West up in these vibes. Give me some 2002 Barry Bonds,
some
all right?
Connor McDavid the Angels, the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, the Angels won the World Series in 2002, and they gave the MVP to Troy Glaus. The answer is Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds was the MVP of that World Series. I don't care if they lost.
Can you give me the MVP of the World Series that the White Sox won?
Oh,
the answer is Jermaine Dye.
Yes, Patrick is on fire tonight.
Well, Jermaine was really good.
Let's go.
Guy played like solid ball with the A's for years before he went over the
Who's
White Sox.
The World Series winner for the Braves in 21?
It wasn't Acuna.
MVP.
Was it Freeman?
Do you know this?
It's Jorge Soler.
It is. Oh,
of course it is.
I have the list in front of me, so
yeah,
I can't say. Because
MVPs very regularly. The Giants... Okay, the Giants, three World Series, okay? It's Juan Uribe, Edgar Renteria, that son of a bitch who I absolutely hate because of 97, and Mad Bum. Mad Bum was obvious. No, it's Pablo Sandoval.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. See? So it's like it's always some like random guy. It's never the best guy.
2010 was Renteria. 2012 was Sandoval.
The
and
NLCS
then
MVP is Tommy Edamame. And that's how these things go. And in this series, it's Freddie Freeman without an absolute doubt. He's a superstar, a former MVP, and the reason that they are completely crushing the Yankees in this series.
All right, last one. And I would love to send this off with a bang. Yeah. The 2007 Red Sox.
Bill Miller.
No.
JD Drew?
No.
No. It's Derek Lowe.
No, it's not.
It's not Minkiewicz. He kept the ball, though.
Although.
No, that's 04.
Lowe.
We're not on 04. What'd you say, 07?
2007. Lowe.
Oh, it's Kevin Youkilis.
No.
No? Oh, damn.
My hint, and I don't even know if you're going to get it with this. For his last name is also in this person's last name.
Wait.
Lowe.
Ellsbury? No.
It's spelt that way, too. Lowe.
I don't got it.
Mike Lowell.
Mike Lowell, third base. Marlins guy. Yeah. He's on TV. He's a good commentator on TV.
I forgot about Mike.
Good pundit.
2007. All right. You couldn't go undefeated tonight. But
sorry.
Again, I saw that
one. I just pulled out Jermaine Dye and Jorge Soler.
Again,
my bad.
I saw that one. I was like, dude, if he gets this one, I swear to God.
Who caught the last out in the Yankees World Series of 96? The answer is Ruben Sierra. Do you know that? Do you know that?
96 World Series MVP? John Wetteland.
Yeah, Wetteland was the... He was Mo. Mo was a rookie.
Yep.
And Mo was his setup guy. Yeah, Wetteland was phenomenal in that.
And then three seasons after that, Mo wins the MVP of the World Series.
Yeah, and then he gave it up in 01.
How fun.
All right, coming up in the second hour, speaking of Yankees in Wetteland and Mo, we need to have a serious conversation about the New York Yankees. And we'll do that next. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Hot Corner, 10 of the Fan.